Okay, we're going to talk today about the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. The last mitzvah of the Torah, number 613, is the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. This mitzvah is derived from the pasuk in Parshas Vayelech, where the pasuk says, "V'yata kisvu lochem es hashira hazoz v'lamda es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyah." Kisvu lochem es hashira hazoz. Write this shira. What does shira mean? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis interprets that the word shira doesn't refer to hazinu, the shira that's coming up in the next parasha, but rather it means the whole Torah, that there's an obligation on each and every Jew to write a Sefer Torah. To write a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Minchas Chinuch raises a question as to what the nature of this mitzvah really is. Should we assume that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is fulfilled through the Maisa Ksiva? The mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah, as the pasuk seems to indicate, Kisvu Lachem Es Hashira Hazoz. Or should we say that the mitzvah really is to own a Sefer Torah, that each Jew is supposed to own a Sefer Torah? Of course, the way to own it is to write it, but the mitzvah really is fulfilled by owning the Sefer Torah. Maybe we can look at the ksiva as a hechsher, as a preparatory act needed to own the Sefer Torah, because you have to create the Sefer in order to own it. Maybe we could even go so far as to say that the best way to fulfill this mitzvah is by actually writing a Sefer Torah, by introducing a new Sefer Torah into the world. But basically, one could suggest that even if all that is true, the mitzvah is really fulfilled by owning the Sefer Torah, not by writing the Sefer Torah. This seems to be a machlokas Rishonim. The shaila that the Minchas Chinuch raises seems to be a debate among the Rishonim. The Rambam in Hilchas Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, writes, "Mitzvah Saseh Kol Ish VeIsh MiYisrael Lichtov Lo Sefer Torah." The Minchas Chinuch is medayek from the Rambam that you see from his language that he holds that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is exactly that, Ksiva Sefer Torah, to write the Sefer Torah. There's a mitzvah of Ksiva that each and every Jew is supposed to write for themselves a Sefer Torah. The Sefer HaChinuch, on the other hand, when he describes this mitzvah in Mitzvah Tov Resh Yud Gimel, right, the last of the 613, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, "Shenitz Tavinu Lios L'chol Ish MiYisrael Sefer Torah," that there's a mitzvah that each member of Klal Yisrael should have a Sefer Torah, Lios L'chol Ish, that they should all have a Sefer Torah. So it would seem as though the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam are disagreeing about this very point. The Chinuch assumes that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is not to be taken literally that the mitzvah is to write the Sefer Torah, but rather to write it so that you'll have it. The purpose is to have it. The Rambam, on the other hand, seems to take it literally that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is exactly that, it's the Maisa Ksiva. Many have pointed out that the Rosh, at the beginning of Hilchas Sefer Torah, there are a number of Mesechtos Ketanos. So the Rosh has a number of series of halachos dealing with these Mesechtos Ketanos, Hilchas Mezuzah, Hilchas Kelayim, Hilchas Sefer Torah, etc., Hilchas Tzitzis. So the Rosh, at the beginning of Hilchas Sefer Torah in Siman Aleph, asks a very important question. He says, why do we find that many people are not knowing Bizman Azeh? They don't have the custom nowadays to fulfill this mitzvah. Do we find every Jew writing a Sefer Torah nowadays? So the truth is, this was a question for the Rosh's time. We actually do find. We find that people write Sefer Torah, and they have everyone contribute in writing of an os. You know, they finish the Sefer Torah, and then at the end, each member of the community will write one of the letters of the Sefer Torah. Then they'll have a hachnasas Sefer Torah, they'll bring that Sefer Torah into the shul. It's a beautiful event, and people take the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah at that time when they're contributing to the writing of this new Sefer Torah. So it actually is much more common now than it used to be. At the time of the Rosh, people just didn't do it. You know, a couple of people had a Sefer Torah, they commissioned Sefer Torah to be written by Sofrim, and once the Sofer wrote the Sefer Torah, then they would donate it to the shul, and that was it. Well, some people kept the Sefer Torah in their homes, but most people were not writing Sefer Torah. So the Rosh asks, how could that be? If it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, the Gemara in Sanhedrin learns from this pasuk that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to write a Sefer Torah, so why shouldn't everyone be noheg? Why shouldn't everyone be careful about this mitzvah? So he answers there in Hilchas Sefer Torah, Siman Aleph, he says, Bizman Azeh, when we write a Sefer Torah, what do we do with it? We don't learn from the Sefer Torah. We don't use the scroll as a medium for Talmud Torah. We write the Sefer Torah, then we put it in the Aron Kodesh, and at best, we're going to read from that Sefer Torah. At worst, we'll use it on Simchas Torah to dance with, but we're going to put it in the Aron Kodesh. We're not going to really use it for Talmud Torah. So says the Rosh, the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah Bizman Azeh really is fulfilled if a person writes Chamisha Chumshe Torah, Mishnayos, Gemaras, Perushim, commentaries. If a person writes whatever Svarim he has to write to enable limud haTorah, that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzivos sefer Torah b'zman hazeh. So that's why you find that so many people are not writing sifrei Torah, they're not fulfilling the mitzvah of tzivos sefer Torah by writing sefer Torah, because that's not the way that we fulfill this mitzvah b'zman hazeh. Explains the Rosh, why do I assume that the way to fulfill the mitzvah of tzivos sefer Torah b'zman hazeh is by writing chamisha chamshei Torah and mishnayos and gemaras and other svarim? He says, look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'yata kisvu lachem es hashir azos v'lamda es bnei Yisrael sima b'fiim." You see that the purpose of the mitzvah of ksivas sefer Torah is v'lamda es bnei Yisrael, so that bnei Yisrael should learn Torah. So, if the purpose of the goal of ksivas sefer Torah is to enable limud haTorah, so we have to write whatever svarim we have bisman hazeh that we use for Talmud Torah. So, since we don't use the scrolls, we don't use the sifrei Torah that we have in the Aron Kodesh for Talmud Torah. So then, there's no reason. There's no reason to fulfill the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah in that fashion, Bizman Hazeh. So this is quite an interesting Rosh. What the Rosh really is telling us is that there are two parts to this pasuk. There's the part of the pasuk that says, Kisvu Lachem Es Hashir Azos, and then the pasuk says, V'lamda Es Bnei Yisrael Sima B'fiyim. The Rosh says we got to take both parts of the pasuk seriously. One could suggest that the Rambam understood that even if the time of the Torah, even if the reason for the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah is to enable Talmud Torah, but since the pasuk says Kisvu Lachem Es Hashira Hazos, that tells me that the mitzvah is fulfilled by writing the Sefer Torah. The Rosh says no. Kisvu Lachem Es Hashira Hazos is only a hechshar. That's a way that you can create a Sefer Torah. But the ikar is the time of the Torah. The ikar, the primary focus of the pasuk, really is the second half. V'lamdas v'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyim. That to enable Talmud Torah was supposed to write Sifrei Torah. So according to the Rosh, since the real purpose of the mitzvah is to enable Talmud Torah, so that's why Bizman Hazeh, since Talmud Torah doesn't really take place by learning from scrolls, so one can fulfill the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah by writing other svarim, because those are the svarim that we use for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Bizman Hazeh. So these are the two shitas that we have in the Rishonim. The Rambam seems to say that the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah is focused on the Maisik Ksiva. Now, even if the Rambam agrees that the pasuk says "V'lamdas v'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyim," the Rambam might agree that the ultimate purpose is to enable Talmud Torah, but he takes the pasuk pshuto kemashmo in its simple literal understanding that the mitzvah is fulfilled by writing the Sefer Torah. He says that's the key to the pasuk, the ma'isa mitzvah that the pasuk delineates. The Sefer Hachinuch and the Rosh, on the other hand, seem to suggest that no. V'lamdas b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyam teaches me not only the time of the krah, but it governs the parameters of the halacha. It governs the scope of the mitzvah. That because v'lamdas b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyam is the goal and the purpose of this mitzvah, that determines when the mitzvah applies and how it applies. So if bizman hazeh we're not learning from Torah scrolls, then the way to fulfill the mitzvah ksivas sefer Torah bizman hazeh would be by writing other svarim which can enable the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Yes.
According to the Rambam, you get one mitzvah when you write it, and that's it. And if it's done, you get a mitzvah every day. Start from mitzvah every day, owning it.
Could be. We're going to talk about that later. That's a good ha'ar. That's a very good point. We're going to get to that later. Before we get to that, let's just focus on just one interesting part of the Rosh. According to the Rosh, what seems to emerge is that the time of the Kra, the reason of the pasuk is governing. It's dictating what the scope of the mitzvah should be. Since the reason for the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah is to enable Talmud Torah, the Rosh claims that it changes with time. It depends what the medium for Talmud Torah is in the particular time that you're talking about. Now, that seems a little bit strange at first glance, because we paskin that lo darshin on time of the crow. We don't darshin the time of different mitzvahs. Now, that doesn't mean we don't care about the reasons of mitzvahs. The reasons of mitzvahs are very important to understand what the hashkafah of Torah is, what the goals of certain mitzvahs are. We can gain from such an understanding. But again, the time of the krah, if lo darshina time of the krah, that means that we're not going to use the time of the krah, we're not going to use the reason for the mitzvah to dictate what the parameter or the scope of the mitzvah should be. Halacha is not going to be determined by the timing. Tamei ha-mitzvahs might be very important in terms of our hashkafah, of our understanding of the Torah, but it's not going to govern what the scope of the mitzvah is. So if that's the case, why does the Rosh assume that the time of the krav, the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah, governs when the mitzvah and how the mitzvah applies? Seems a little bit strange. The answer probably is that there's one exception to this rule. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adav Chaf Aleph, says that even Rabbi Yehuda, who's one of the Tanaim, who is lo darshin time of the krav, Rabbi Yehuda does not use the reasons of the pasuk to determine what the parameters of mitzvah should be, but even he claims that we can be darshina time of the krah in one type of case. What's that case? The pasuk regarding a melech Yisrael, the pasuk says, "V'lo yar, v'lo nashim, v'lo yasur levava." that a melech is not supposed to have too many wives. He can have 18 wives, but he can't have more than 18 wives. There are psukim that explain, there are drushas that explain how the number 18 came about. But he can have 18 wives, he can't have more than that. But the pasuk does say, v'lo yavar lo nashim, v'lo yoso levavo, that the reason why he can't be married to nashim is because we're afraid that they're going to be mesiros as libo, they're going to make his heart stray, he won't follow the dictates of the Torah, if the women are not proper women, has too many wives, maybe one of the wives, or more than one of the wives, is not going to be a bas Torah, and she's not going to follow what the Torah wants, and she'll cause the melech to stray. Rabbi Huda says that it's mutter for the melech to be marbe, uvilvad shelo yehei, or shelo yehu mesiros es libo. As long as the women are not going to be mesiros libo from the derech of Torah, then it's mutter for him to be marbe. Rabbi Yehuda, who's normally one of the Tanaim who says lo darshin atayim v'kra, in this case he seems to be darshin atayim v'kra. He says if the whole problem of lo yarba lo noshin is so that lo yosu levavo, so if they're not mesiros as libo, then there's no problem. He can be marb as much as he wants. So how can that be? Rabbi Yehuda normally says that lo darshin atayim v'kra. How can he be darshin atayim v'kra? So the Gemara explains it's not a stira. Rabbi Yehuda holds there's one case when you can be darshin atayim v'kra. When is that? That's when the pasuk mentions the actual time of the mitzvah. If the pasuk mentions the time of the mitzvah, we are not suggesting a time for the mitzvah, so then darshin atayim v'kra. All the cases, we're not going to get involved in all of the details, but all the cases where we have a machlokas tanoim, whether darshin atayim v'kra or not, is where Chazal understood that there's a time of the mitzvah, but the time was not actually mentioned in the Torah. In that case, we paskin that we're not going to be darshin atayim v'kra because it's not mefurish in the pasuk. But if the time is mefurish in the pasuk, if it's explicit in the pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda, who normally is one of the tanaim who says that lo darshin atayim v'kra, he'll say that here we can be darshin atayim v'kra because the Torah tells you to be darshin atayim v'kra. If the Torah didn't want us to be darshin atayim v'kra, meaning if the Torah didn't want us to dictate the parameters of the mitzvah based on the ta'am that the pasuk mentions, why does the Torah mention the ta'am? The Torah must mention the reason because it wants us to govern the parameters of the mitzvah based on this time. That's why it's mentioned in the pasuk. So that could be the answer for the Rush. The Rush says the reason why we're the Shina time of the Ko when it comes to Ksiva Seva Torah is because it's in the pasuk. Even if the pasuk had not said V'lam Des B'nei Yisrael Sima B'fiyam, we could have extrapolated, we could have figured out, we could have suggested that, well, what's the purpose of this mitzvah? The Torah just wants a lot of Sifrei Torah in the world. Like, what's the point? So you could say the point really is to enable teaching Torah, to enable learning Torah. So we could have thought of that time as well. But if we had thought of the time, then we'd say, lo darshin atayim v'kra, the time ha-mitzvah is not going to govern the application of the mitzvah. But the Rush claims, and the Sefer HaChinuch probably agrees, that because the time of the Kra is in the Pasuk, right? If it's licked in the Verita, it's in the words of the Pasuk, then we can't deny that. The Torah is telling us that this is the mitzvah, and this is the purpose of the mitzvah. Now you know that the mitzvah is to be governed by this purpose. Okay, so that would explain why the Rush claims that V'lamdes B'nei Yisrael Sima B'fiyim is really a key to this pasuk. It's not just the time of the Kra, but it really determines the application of the mitzvah, because here the time of the Kra is actually mentioned in the Pasuk. It's not something that the Chachamim suggested based on the Psukim. So we have a machlokas. We have machlokas, the Rambam on the one hand, Sefer HaChinuch on the Rush on the other, whether the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is pshuto kemashmo, to be understood simply as a mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah, or to be understood more, you could say, as a totsa'a. The mitzvah is the result, the fact that you'll have the Sefer Torah, own the Sefer Torah, and as a result of that, you'll be able to learn from it more easily. There are several issues that might hinge on this question, several nafgamina to this shayla. The first is, let's say a person acquires a Sefer Torah, not through writing it. Obviously, according to the Rambam, the only way to fulfill the mitzvah is by writing a Sefer Torah. But according to the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rosh, if the mitzvah is defined as owning a Sefer Torah, specifically owning a Sefer Torah to enable Talmud Torah, so then perhaps if a person acquires a Sefer Torah through some other means, let's say he inherits a Sefer Torah from his relatives, or he buys a Sefer Torah in the marketplace, let's say he buys Sfarim at the Sfarim sale, right? So can a person fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah by buying a Sefer Torah, or by buying Sfarim, or by inheriting a Sefer Torah? According to the Rambam, clearly not. According to the Rush and the Sefer HaChinuch, perhaps yes. So this is actually a discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on the Chaf Aleph Amud Beis quotes the Memra of Rabbah. Amar Rabbah, Aval Pi, Shehinicha Lo Avosav La'adam Sefer Torah, Mitzvah Lichtov Mishalom. Rabbah says even if a person inherits a Sefer Torah from his forefathers, it's a mitzvah for him to write the Sefer Torah himself. Rabbah learns from the pasuk V'yata Kisu Lachem that a person is mechuyev to write his own Sefer Torah. So he seems to be saying Yerusha, inheritance, is not enough. A person has to actually write a Sefer Torah. This would seem to imply, like the Rambam, that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is fulfilled only through the Maisa Ksiva. On the other hand, the Gemara Menachas and Aflami quotes the memra of Rav, Halokeh Sefer Torah Menashuk, Kechotev Mitzvah Menashuk. Someone who buys a Sefer Torah from the marketplace, like he grabs a mitzvah from the marketplace. What does that mean? Sounds like someone else was Yotze their mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah by writing the Sefer Torah, and you're grabbing that mitzvah. You're trying to take that mitzvah. Kosvo, Rav continues, Kosvo, Malo, Lavakosvo, Kilo Kiblo, Mehar Sinai. If he writes a Sefer Torah, so it's like he accepted it from Har Sinai. So that's the best way to fulfill the mitzvah. So what is Rav telling us? Well, if you look at Sefer Torah and Ashuk, it's Kachotev Mitzvah and Ashuk. But if you write the Sefer Torah, so the Torah considers it as if you accepted it at Matan Torah. What does that mean? So the Michas Chinuch says, from the Lashon Kachotev Mitzvah and Ashuk, it would appear that you are fulfilling some kind of a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah and a mufcher. It's Kachotev Mitzvah and Ashuk. You're trying to grab a mitzvah. Trying to grab a mitzvah. You're not mekayim a mitzvah in the best way possible. You're trying to grab a mitzvah from the shuk. Best thing would be to write the Sefer Torah, but you're grabbing the mitzvah by buying the Sefer Torah. This is in fact what Rashi on that Gemara Menachas says. Rashi says, U'mitzvah avad aval ikosav have a mitzvah yaseirat tfei. Rashi says, Kechotev mitzvah min ashuk means that it's not a mitzvah min amuvchet. That's why it's chotev mitzvah. You're grabbing a mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. If you buy svarim from the svarim, so there's no question that there's a mitzvah. From Rashi, you get the impression that the best thing would be for you to write your own svarim. But if you were to buy svarim from the svarim sale, yes, you would fulfill the mitzvah. Buying svarim from any location, from any person, you'd fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. It seems a little bit strange. At first glance, you take Rashi's approach to the Gemara Menachas, it seems to be a stira from the Gemara Menachas, a contradiction from the Gemara Menachas to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Because the Gemara Sanhedrin seems to say Yerusha doesn't work, inheritance doesn't work, you have to write your own. And yet the Gemara Menacha seems to say that Kenyan, buying Sifrei Torah, does work. You fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Maybe not the mitzvah min amuvcher of Ksiva Sefer Torah, but a mitzvah nonetheless. There is some kind of a mitzvah.
It's just an
amoraim. Oh, so one answer could be, it's a machlokas amoraim, a debate between the amoraim, and maybe Taka, Rav, who in the Gemara Menachas says you'll fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah by buying Sefer Torah, maybe he'll say that Yerusha will work as well. And maybe Rabbah, who says that Yerusha doesn't work, he'll say that buying doesn't work either, right? You could say that it's a machlokas amoraim. That is true. That's one possible answer that some of the Achronim give. The other answer they give, according to Rashi, the other answer they give is that maybe Yerusha and Kenyan are not the same. Can you think of a chiluk? Can you think of a distinction between Yerusha as opposed to Kenyan? Why would Kenyan be better, buying a Sefer Torah as opposed to inheriting it? What do you think?
You're paying for it. You're doing something
for it. You're doing a maisa, exactly. Maybe even though in both circumstances you're not writing anything, this sheet, the Rashi sheet, is that you don't have to write a Sefer Torah to fulfill the mitzvah of a Sefer Torah. It's enough to own it. But it's not enough just to own it, to gain ownership Memela, right? To gain ownership passively. You have to gain ownership actively to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's how Rashi understood the Gemara Menachas is saying that if you look at Sefer Torah Menashuk, you certainly can fulfill the mitzvah because you're gaining ownership actively through Kenyan, by buying it, by paying for it. But if you inherit the Sefer Torah, since you're not gaining ownership actively, maybe that's why you won't be Yotze. It's not really such a contradiction according to Rashi. This is all Rashi Shita. The Ramah disagrees. The Ramah in Yeridaya, in Siman Reish Aleph, Sif Aleph, the Ramah says that if you buy a Sefer Torah, you're not fulfilling a mitzvah at all. Chotev mitzvah min ashuk means that you're not yotze the mitzvah of Sefer Torah in that fashion. You're grabbing a mitzvah. It doesn't mean that you fulfill the mitzvah, but it's not bishleimuso. It's not the best way. It's that you're not fulfilling the mitzvah whatsoever. That's the Ramah's understanding. And all the Achronim jump up and down. They say, how could that be? The Ramah is against Rashi. How could that be? Rashi said that you do fulfill the mitzvah, just it's not a mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. So the Minchas Chinuch says that the answer is the Ramah holds like the Rambam. The Minchas Chinuch suggests the Ramah's not beholden to Rashi. Rashi says it's not a mitzvah min amuvcher, but you are fulfilling some kind of a mitzvah. The Ramah says you're not fulfilling any mitzvah at all. Why not? goes like the Rambam. The Rambam holds, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? Through what? Through what, Rabosai? Writing. So if you're not writing, forget about it. Rashi holds you don't have to write. Rashi goes with the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rosh. Rashi assumes that as long as you own the Sefer Torah, it's enough. Rashi might go a little bit further and say that you have to gain ownership actively, not through Yerusha. So Kenyan is necessary. But Rashi will say you don't have to write it. The Mechassinuch says the Ramah disagrees because he follows the Rambam. He assumes that you have to write the Sefer Torah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. So therefore, if someone just buys the Sefer Torah from the outside, from the shuk, he's not going to fulfill his mitzvah. This is one nafkamina that the Mechassinuch, that other Rachmanim point out, could be a distinction between the Rosh and the Sefer Chinuch on the one hand, that you fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah by owning the Sefer Torah, and the Rambam on the other hand, that you need a Maisa Ksiva in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Another nafkamina, another issue that's discussed, is what happens if a person actually writes the Sefer Torah. So it sounds like according to the Rambam, everything is great, he wrote the Sefer Torah. But then he donates it to a shul. Or he sells the Sefer Torah. Before we were talking about acquiring the Sefer Torah from someone else. Well, let's look at it from the perspective of the mocher. Let's say a person donates the Sefer Torah, or he sells the Sefer Torah. Did he now lose the mitzvah? Or do we say, no, once he wrote the Sefer Torah, he fulfilled the mitzvah, and that's it. Then he could do with the Sefer Torah what he wants. So this also seems to be related to this question. The Minchas Chinuch, in the same mitzvah, Tav Reish Yud Gimel, in the new Minchas Chinuch, you buy the Mesvarim, so beautiful, Machon Yerushalayim Minchas Chinuch, the three-volume Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch was a Sefer that was inaccessible to most B'nai Torah, because there were so many abbreviations, people just couldn't figure out what the Minchas Chinuch was saying. It was like a long run-on sentence. So Machon Yerushalayim came and they opened up the whole Sefer. They paragraphed it and paginated it and put the subheadings on the side and they opened up all the abbreviations. So now it's a Sefer that people are reading and learning. It's such a beautiful Sefer. And it's only a couple, it's only three volumes. It's not so expensive. You can buy it in the Sfarim, so I highly recommend it. Excellent Sefer. It's on all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. It really can give you a better understanding of the Mitzvahs, and it's a Lamdash Sefer too. Briskas are very into it because he raises a lot of interesting questions to think about. Fascinating questions. And then he tries to figure out, is it a Machlokas Rishonim? Is it obvious? Is it a Gemara? It's a very, very fascinating Sefer. So he quotes from the Sefer Toras Chaim, one of the Gedolei Achronim. The Toras Chaim, if you have a Kovetz Mefarshim, the Kovetz Mefarshim often has Rishonim in it, and it has Gedolei Achronim. Toras Chaim is often in a Kovetz Mefarshim on Shas. So the Toras Chaim in Sanhedrin, the same Gemara, Taras Chaim and Sanhedrin on Chafal Zambay suggests, he thinks that if someone is maktish a Sefer Torah, someone donates a Sefer Torah to a shul, he's got to write another Sefer Torah. It's a big mitzvah to donate it to a shul, that for Kriyas HaTorah they'll have a Sefer Torah, they'll be able to dance with the Sefer Torah and so on. So it's very nice to donate it to a shul, but you've lost your mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, according to the Taras Chaim, if you've donated that Sefer Torah. The Pischei Tshuva and Yeredeya there in Simon Reishayin, that's the Simon of Ksiva Sefer Torah, so he quotes other Achronim who argue. Other Achronim claim that you wrote the Sefer Torah, you fulfilled your mitzvah, you're allowed to donate it to the shul. Yeah, what's the problem? You don't lose your mitzvah. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests that maybe the Taras Chaim and the other Achronim are arguing again about this point. The Taras Chaim assumes, what's the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? How do you fulfill that mitzvah according to the Taras Chaim? What do you think? Again, the Taras Chaim says that even that once you donate the Sefer Torah to the shul, you have to write another Sefer Torah. Why? Because he assumes that the mitzvah is fulfilled by anyone? By owning the Sefer Torah. Writing the Sefer Torah is not enough. So if you donate it to the shul, are you owning the Sefer Torah anymore? No. So if you're no longer owning the Sefer Torah, you've lost the mitzvah. So you got to write another Sefer Torah. Not to write another Sefer Torah, but to own another Sefer Torah. Right? Rabosai? Yeah?
When people give nowadays to shuls, they keep ownership or they give...
You know, that's a very interesting question. You know, there's a member of my shul, of my community, who donated a Sefer Torah to the shul, but it's known as his Sefer Torah, this person's Sefer Torah. And he takes charge if there's a to'os, if there's a problem in the Sefer Torah. We're actually going to talk about that next week. What happens if there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah? Can you continue reading from the Torah? What do you do in terms of fixing the Sefer Torah? So whenever there's an error in the Sefer Torah, he always takes achrayas, he takes responsibility to bring it to the sofer, and sometimes he'll take it from the shul and use it if he wants to take it somewhere. So it's interesting. I wonder whether he said, I want to keep ownership of the Sefer Torah. That's mine. If He keeps ownership of the Sefer Torah. He allows the shul to use it, but it's really his. So maybe it's still viewed as though he's owning the Sefer Torah. He'll still fulfill the mitzvah. But if a person really donates it to the Sefer Torah, to the shul, according to the Torah's time, he won't fulfill the mitzvah of the Sefer Torah. He fulfilled the mitzvah until that point in time, but no longer. So now he has to write another Sefer Torah so that he'll be able to fulfill it. Because if you assume that the mitzvah is to own the Sefer Torah, you can't just own the Sefer Torah one day. You're supposed to own the Sefer Torah your whole life. So once you give up the Sefer Torah, then you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. But according to the other Achronim, the mitzvah of Sefer Torah is fulfilled once you write the Sefer Torah. It's like lulav, it's like kiddush. I said kiddush already, so I fulfilled the mitzvah. I took the lulav, I shook the lulav, I blew shofar. It's over, the mitzvah's over. I wrote the Sefer Torah, the mitzvah's over. So what that I don't own it? It's very nice to own it. Maybe that's even the purpose of the mitzvah, but that doesn't dictate the parameters of the mitzvah. The parameters of the mitzvah mean, right, the mitzvah means that you have to write the Sefer Torah. So once I wrote the Sefer Torah, I fulfilled the mitzvah, that's it. This is one issue. The other case we gave is, let's say you sell the Sefer Torah. Right? So I've given up ownership. The first issue we talked about was Yerusha Kenyan. How does one acquire the Sefer Torah? Now we're talking about someone who owned the Sefer Torah, but he gave up ownership. How? First way was by donating it to a shul. Second way, let's say he sells the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara Megillah on Daf Chav Zayin writes that one is not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. One can't sell a Sefer Torah for any purpose except for two. Lilmo Torah or Lisa Isha, either to get married or to learn Torah. Those are the only two reasons for selling Sefer Torah. It's interesting, actually. If the purpose of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to learn Torah, so we can understand why you can sell the Sefer Torah and give up the mitzvah in order to learn Torah, it's an interesting point, but not for now. So the Gemara Megillah says that one is prohibited from selling a Sefer Torah unless he wants to learn Torah. Lil Motar, he needs money, he needs airfare to get to carfare, he has to buy a ticket on the train to get to yeshiva, whatever it is. So, in order to learn Torah, he's allowed to sell the Sefer Torah, or to get married, you can sell the Sefer Torah. Everyone agrees to that halacha, so it's definitely usur to sell the Sefer Torah. The question is, why is it usur to sell the Sefer Torah? So, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah, and you look at the Rosh in Hilchos Sefer Torah, they both quote this halacha, but in a totally different context, and it's quite interesting to see the context. The Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah in Perek Yud Halacha Beis writes, Sefer Torah Kosher Noagin Bo Kedusha Yisera VeKavod Gadol. A Sefer Torah Kosher, we try to treat it with extra Kedusha and with great respect. VeAsur LaAdam Limkor Sefer Torah, and a person is not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. So what does the Rambam do? He includes this Halacha, the Isser, the prohibition of selling a Sefer Torah, he includes that within the Halacha of Kedusha Sefer Torah and Kavod Sefer Torah. He doesn't connect this to the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah whatsoever. You're not supposed to sell it to Sefer Torah stam. But a person wants to buy a house and they're going to sell a Sefer Torah, that's a bizayon of the Sefer Torah. That's the reason why it's usur to sell the Sefer Torah according to the Rambam. Not because you'll be mevatel the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah by selling it. The Rosh seems to disagree, because the Rosh there in Hilchos Sefer Torah, he says something different. He says, "Devadai mitzvah gedola hi lichtov Sefer Torah, v'gam ein lemochra." So it's a big mitzvah to write the Sefer Torah, says the Rosh. One is also not supposed to sell the Sefer Torah. Ela lil matara v'lisa isha. So what does the Rosh do? He connects the Isser to sell the Sefer Torah to what? To the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah. Very different than the Rambam. Probably because the Rambam and the Rosh l'shitasam. I saw Rav Asher Zelig Weiss in the Sefer Minchas Asher on Chamisha Chumshe Torah. He suggests that the Rambam and the Rosh l'shitasam, they're following their logic. The Rambam assumes that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is fulfilled through the writing. So it's fulfilled through the writing. You don't lose that mitzvah by selling the Sefer Torah. So why are you not allowed to sell the Sefer Torah? Not because you're going to be mevatel the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, but because it's a bizayon for the Sefer Torah to sell it for any other reason aside from getting married or learning Torah. The Rosh, on the other hand, assumes, what's the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? To have the Sefer Torah, to be able to learn from the Sefer Torah. So the Rosh will claim that if I don't own the Sefer Torah, if I give up the Sefer Torah, if I donate it or I sell it or whatever, so I'm giving up that mitzvah. So one is not allowed to sell the Sefer Torah, not because it's a design for the Sefer Torah. There's a more basic reason. Because the whole reason to write the Sefer Torah to begin with is to fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, to have the Sefer Torah, to learn from it. So I'm going to be mevatel that mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah by giving it up, by selling it. So that's why a person is not supposed to sell it. Of course, according to the Rosh, the reason why you're allowed to sell the Torah, Lilma Torah, Lisa Ish, you're allowed to sell the Sefer Torah in order to learn or to get married, that's because these are special dispensations. Lil Motara, we just explained. Lil Motara is, if the whole purpose of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to have the Sefer Torah to learn from it, So obviously, if you're not going to be able to learn, there's no point. So you can sell the Sefer Torah to get a Rebbe, to go to yeshiva, to find the Chavrusa. That we can understand. And Lisa Ish apparently is such an important mitzvah, such an important value, that it's mutter to give up learning Torah in order to get married. So that's why those are the two exceptions to the rule. But without those two exceptions, the Rush would say it's also to sell the Sefer Torah. Why? Not because it's a bizarre for the Sefer Torah. No, there's a more basic reason. Because you're being mevatel. You are uprooting, upending the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah to begin with.
You're not applying it for the Barry Mace, even?
It would seem not. Right. Ksiva Sefer, selling a Sefer Torah to Barry Mace would seem that would be us. Okay. A third issue was something that you mentioned, and that's the Zman HaMitzvah. When do you fulfill the mitzvah? When is the mitzvah fulfilled? If you assume that the mitzvah is fulfilled through the Mace Ksiva, so it's a one-time event. It's a one-time event at some point during one's life when you're supposed to write a Sefer Torah. You have to do it when you're bar mitzvah. You have to do it when you're 20, 30, 40. You could do it one time in your life. Maybe it's reason makdimin lemitzvah. Maybe it's proper to try to do it at the earliest possible time. To chaparai, we always try to be reason. So maybe it's better to do it at the earliest time, but you fulfill it one time in your life. Once you write a Sefer Torah, that's it. You've done it. But if the mitzvah is like the Sefer HaChinuch or the Rosh, the mitzvah is to own the Sefer Torah, so that mitzvah is not fulfilled at one time in a person's life. What, I only have to own the Sefer Torah for 1 second? That seems a little strange. According to the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rosh, the impression you get is that one is mechuyev to own a Sefer Torah as long as he's living. From the time that he becomes bar mitzvah until he passes away. He should always own Sefer Torah. Always own whatever media he needs in order to learn Torah. To put it in the Rosh's vernacular, he should always own Sfar. He has to buy Sfarim and always own Sfarim because he always should be learning somewhat at some point in time. So the mitzvah, it's not just the Zrizim Makdim and the mitzvah that tells us that we should buy Sfarim at the earliest possible time, according to the Rush. No. Or that we should write a Sefer Torah at the earliest possible time. The Rush claims you have to own the Sifrei Torah throughout your life. Because it's not just the Maisik Siva, it's not an act. The Tilas Lula, Tkiya Shofar, an act. That through that act you can fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. No. It's the fact that you own the Sefer Torah, and we can go further, you own the Sefer Torah so that you can learn from it. You can't fulfill that with one split second. You really have to own it throughout your life. So, it's interesting. If you look in the Michas Tanach, he points out, he says it's a little bit strange because we don't find people being careful about that. Right? People are very careful to try to fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah at the earliest possible time, right? You know, they turn 13 and they automatically, then they try to write the Sefer Torah immediately. So he says, does that imply that the Rush is correct? That really the mitzvah is not the writing, it's really the owning? And very often people do own Sfarim pretty soon after turning 13. In fact, they'll get presents, right? Presents in the form of Sfarim. I don't know, it's not so clear. It's kind of interesting, but it's interesting the perspective that you have to have on this mitzvah. If you assume that Ksiva Sefer Torah is fulfilled through the writing of the Sefer Torah, so it's a one-time event. But if you assume that the mitzvah is fulfilled by owning Sifrei Torah, by owning Sfarim, so then one really should fulfill the mitzvah, continue fulfilling the mitzvah throughout one's life. It's not something that's a one-time event, but rather it's an ongoing mitzvah. A fourth issue that some claim depend on this question, and that is shutfus, partnership. Can one fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah with partnership? Many people do this. It's very rare for someone to fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah by himself. Some do. Some will commission the writing of a Sefer Torah, and they'll make the sofer into their shliach, into their emissary to write the Sefer Torah. The sofer is the representative of the owner, and that's it. So basically, the owner is really writing the Sefer Torah through the medium of through the proxy of the sofer. But most people can't afford to do that. So what we do is, when someone is finishing a Sefer Torah, so he's mezaka the rabbim, he helps other people fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, they join, they all write an oath, they write a letter at the end of the Sefer Torah, they make a big party, and they dance, etc., right? So shutfus, it's a very nice idea, but does it work? Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe the whole thing just doesn't work. So some achronim, I mean, what's the shaila? So the question that the Achronim raise is, there are discussions about mitzvahs in general, whether you can fulfill mitzvahs. Whenever the pasuk says lochem, can you fulfill the mitzvah b'shutfus? Right? L'mashal by Netilas Lulav, it says V'lkachtam lachem bayom harishon. On the first day of the Yom Tov Sukkos, you have to take a lulav. And it says lachem, so you have to own the lulav. So we know you have to own the lulav. It can't belong to someone else. If he owns it, he has to give it to you. B'matana. Let's say the two of you own it together. You bought it together. B'shuvas, with a partnership. So does one have to give it to the other, or can they just say it's a shuvas, a partnership is enough? So we assume that when it comes to lulav, the pasuk says lachem, that you have to own it. So there are certain mitzvos. The Gemara Chulin has a whole list of mitzvos where you need lachem, that it has to belong to you, and shutvus is not going to work. It actually has to belong to the individual. A partnership is not going to work. So some want to suggest, since Sefer Torah is not mentioned in the Gemara and Chulin in the list of things which have to be lachem, and one can't fulfill that mitzvah with shutvus, so maybe we should say that Ksiva Sefer Torah, one can't fulfill with shutvus because it's not in the list. And others claim maybe not. That's the shaila. It says V'yata kitzu lachem es hashira hazos. It does say lachem in the pasuk. The question is, what does that mean? The fact that it says lachem in the pasuk, does that tell me that the person has to own it themselves? It can't. They can't be a shutvus like some of the other elements in the beginning of Perek Reishis Hagez in Chulin. Or should I say no? Sefer Torah is different. It's not. It's not part of that rishima. Since it's not part of that list, so maybe even though it does say lachem, there's no need to have shalom. It doesn't have to actually belong to you, or should this is good enough? That's the shaila that the Echronim raised. So some want to suggest, if you think about it, this should depend on this question at least partially. If you assume that the mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah is the ma'aseh ksiva, so maybe we can say that there's no shaila then. As long as people are contributing, each one is writing one letter of the sefer Torah, so without that letter, the sefer Torah is going to be possible, so then maybe he is making a sefer Torah. Maybe he should fulfill the mitzvah even by writing only one letter. Maybe the whole shaila that the Achronim have is only if you assume that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is basically a mitzvah to own the Sefer Torah. If the mitzvah is to own the Sefer Torah, then you can ask, what kind of ownership? Does it have to be exclusively yours, or can you have a partnership? Can it be part of Shutvus? That whole question seems to imply that the mitzvah really involves ownership. The question is, what kind of ownership? The pasuk says, Lochem. So if the pasuk says lachem, does that indicate that it really has to be shalom? It has to be owned by one individual? Or can it still be owned by shutfim? That's the question. But some achronim want to suggest that the question only begins if you assume, like the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rosh, if you assume that you have to own the Sefer Torah in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But if the mitzvah of Sefer Torah involves the writing of the Sefer Torah, so of course you should be able to be yotzei b'shutfus. Because since the Sefer Torah, the tzchaser, even os achas, is possible. So each person who's writing one of the osios of the Sefer Torah is contributing to the hechsher of that Sefer Torah, to making that Sefer Torah kosher. So therefore, there should be no reason why we couldn't contribute different osios, writing different osios, and fulfilling the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah in that fashion. So it could be that we paskin like those achronim who claim that shutfus is fine no matter what. But it could also be that if you take the approach of the Rambam, that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is fulfilled through writing the Sefer Torah, you don't even have to come on to the whole shaila of the Achronim. The fact is, since the mitzvah is fulfilled through the writing of the Sefer Torah, that's it. There's no need, there's no question that shutfus is fine. The whole discussion that the Achronim have might only be according to the other position. Okay, there's one final issue that I want to address with you. So let's just sum up before we talk about the final issue. We mentioned the Machlokas, the Rambam, as opposed to the Rosh and the Sefer HaChinuch, as to whether the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah involves the writing of the Sefer Torah. Or does it involve owning the Sefer Torah? The writing is just a hechsher. Maybe it's the best possible way to own a Sefer Torah, but really the mitzvah is fulfilled through owning the Sefer Torah. And we said that there are different nafkamina, different issues that might hinge on this question. We said, first of all, how does one acquire that Sefer Torah? Maybe acquiring it through Yerusha, or acquiring it by buying it, should that be enough? Or can you only acquire it through writing? That might depend on this question. Then we talked about a person who does write the Sefer Torah, but he relinquishes ownership of the Sefer Torah. Does that destroy his fulfillment of the mitzvah? Now he has to write a new Sefer Torah? Do we say no? That as long as he wrote the Sefer Torah, according to the Rambam, he's fulfilled the mitzvah and that's it? That's another question that might depend on this issue. A third question we discussed is the Zman HaMitzvah. When does one fulfill the mitzvah? In one fell swoop at the time of the Ksiva? Or do we say that a person fulfills the mitzvah as long as he owns the Sefer Torah? Throughout his life? Another issue that might depend on this question. And finally, we talked about shutfas. Can a person fulfill the mitzvah with a partnership or not? If you assume that the mitzvah is the ksiva, then mistama, definitely you can fulfill with shutfas. If not, then it's a matter open for debate, and that could be the shaila that the achronim raise. The final issue, a very, very important issue, fifth issue, that might hinge on this question, is whether women are obligated in this mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah. Are women obligated in the mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah? What do you think? What do you think the logic is? So we know that there's a principle. There are certain mitzvahs that women are pturos from. Women are pturos from what we call every mitzvah saseh, shehazman grama. Any mitzvah that is time dependent. Like tefillin, right? Tefillin, what other time dependent mitzvahs are there? Tefillin and lulav and shofar, etc. Right? Any mitzvah that's zman grama, women are pturos from. But any mitzvah saseh, shelo azman grama, nashim achayavos. So if you were to ask me, are women chayavas in the mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah, I tell you, avada they're chayav. Certainly they're chayav. This is not zman grama. It's not dependent on time. So why should women not be chayavas? That's why a comment of the Rambam is very strange. The Rambam, before he has the Mishnah Torah, before he starts the Mishnah Torah, he has a Sefer HaMitzvahs. And in certain versions of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's not in all versions, but in certain versions of the Mishnah Torah, they have the Minyan HaMitzvahs of the Rambam at the end of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam has a count of the Taryag Mitzvahs, a short count. And then at the end of the Minyan HaMitzvahs of the Rambam, he has a list of mitzvahs that women are pturos from. So Mitzvah Yud Ches in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, in the Rishima, in the special list of mitzvahs that women are pturos from, the Rambam writes that Noshim are pturos from the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Now the truth is, you don't have to run to the Minyan HaMitzvahs to know that the Rambam holds this way. Look at Hilchas Sefer Torah, the first Rambam that we quoted at the beginning of the Shir, the Rambam in Hilchas Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, "Mitzvahs Asei Al Kol Ish VeIsh MiYisrael Lichtov Sefer Torah." On every single man, he doesn't say Nekeva as well. He doesn't say Zecharim UNekevos. So the clear impression that you get from the Rambam is that the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah is limited to men, not to women. The Shagas Aryeh, one of the Gedolei Achronim in Siman Lamed Hey, asks, how could this be? If the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is a mitzvah, say, Shalom Azman Grama, so why are Nashim Pturos? What's the Rambam talking about? It's Doch Pilei Ploim. The Rambam is Pilei Ploim. How can the Rambam say that Nashim Pturos and the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is not Zman Grama, it's not time dependent, it's not like Lulav and Shofar, etc. So why are Nashim Pturos in this mitzvah? So the Shagas Aryeh suggests that maybe the answer is that the Rambam goes like the Rosh. Maybe the Rambam goes like the Rosh, that's what the Shagas Aryeh says. That the purpose of the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah is to enable Talmud Torah, to enable a person to learn Torah. And since women are pturos in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so therefore they're pturos in the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah. Fascinating. Look at what the Shagas Aryeh did. He had a problem. Mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah taken by itself is a mitzvah say shalom azman grama, so the impression you get is that nashim should be chayava. So the way he answered the Rambam is he said, don't just stop with the mitzvah itself and look at it, whether it's zman grama or not. Let's look at the essence of the mitzvah. If the essence of the mitzvah relates to something that women are pturos from, even if the mitzvah itself is not zman grama, nashim are going to be pturos anyway. So that's what he says. If the Rambam goes like the Rosh, so since nashim are pturos from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and the goal of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to enable limud Torah, so nashim should be pturos from the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah as well. That's what the Shagas Aryeh suggests initially. He's troubled though with two problems. He says, first of all, is that really true that nashim are pturos from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? He says, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Arachayim, in Hilchas Birchas HaTorah, in Simen Mem Zayin, the end of Mem Zayin. Shulchan Aruch says that women, when they learn Torah, they make a Birchas HaTorah as well. Why do women make a Birchas HaTorah when they learn Torah? So the Magen Avraham on the side of the Shulchan Aruch explains, even if women are not obligated to learn Torah in the same way as men, they don't have to learn all of Torah. They're not obligated to learn Kodshim and Taharos and Zeroyim, different things that don't apply to them. But they're certainly obligated to learn the Torah that applies to them. They have to learn Hilchas Shabbos just as much as men. Hilchas Shabbos applies to women just as much as men. There are many mitzvahs lo saseh in Hilchas Shabbos. In fact, forget about Hilchas Shabbos, all mitzvahs lo saseh, almost all mitzvahs lo saseh. There are a couple of exceptions in the Gemara and Kiddushin, the Mishnayos and Kiddushin, but women are obligated in almost all mitzvahs lo saseh. All mitzvahs that say shalom as man gama nashma are chayavin as well. If it's man gama, they're potter, but all the mitzvahs that say shalom as man gama, they're chayalas. So they have to learn a lot of Torah. So claims the Magen Avraham, they're obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah for the mitzvahs that apply to them. So maybe, he says, maybe that's what the Shulchan Aruch means. The women will make a birchas HaTorah when they learn Torah because they are mechuyavos in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah for the chalakim, for the parts of Torah that apply to them. So the problem is, if that's the case, then the Shagas Aryeh's answer for the Rambam falls away. The Shagas Aryeh suggests that maybe the Rambam holds like the Rosh. The Shagas Aryeh, take it slow. The Shagas Aryeh said that maybe the Rambam holds like the Rosh, that the purpose of the mitzvah of Ksiva Seva Torah is to enable the learning of Torah, to make it easier to learn Torah. And if women are exempt from learning Torah, so then they shouldn't be obligated in Ksiva Seva Torah. But don't you see from the Shulchan Aruch that women make a birchas HaTorah when they learn Torah? And that would imply, as the Magen Avraham explains, that would imply that they are obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, at least a little bit, the mitzvahs that apply to them. So if they are obligated in the mitzvahs that apply to them, then the question comes back, why does the Rambam say that they're not obligated to write a Sefer Torah? So the truth is, this kasha is not such a big kasha. Because you could say that women actually are not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah whatsoever. There are things that apply to them. No, but it could be that when women learn about these mitzvahs, they're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They are enabling themselves to fulfill these mitzvahs. It's almost like it's a hechsher. It's a preparatory act needed to fulfill those mitzvahs. It's not that they have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They have a mitzvah to learn the halachos of Shabbos because of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. No, it's because they're not allowed to violate any of the halachos of Shabbos. So the way that they won't violate it is if they know what the halachos are. It's not that they have a mitzvah per se. If they don't have a mitzvah, so why should they say a birchas HaTorah? Well, maybe the simple answer to that is maybe Birchas HaTorah is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. I mean, we do say Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvosa V'Tzivanu Laso B'Divrei Torah. Sounds like a Birchas HaMitzvah, but maybe it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah at all. Maybe it's what we call a Birchas HaShevach. Maybe it's a bracha. We praise Hashem. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us a Torah, for giving us a guidebook to live life. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, I should say. It's a Birchas HaShevach. So if we understand that way, then the question from the Shulchan Aruch didn't even begin. The question that the Shagas Aryeh asked is, from the Shulchan Aruch, you get the impression women have to be obligated in some mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because if they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so then why should they make a Birchas HaTorah when they learn? The answer might be, it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. Maybe they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but they have to make a Birchas HaShevach. They have to thank Hashem for the opportunity of learning Torah, for the opportunity of gaining a guideline for how to live life, even if they're not fulfilling any mitzvah. So that's not such a kasha on the Shagas Aryeh's answer. But what's the real kasha on the Shagas Aryeh's answer? The real kasha is, how can the Shagas Aryeh say that the Rambam is going to take the approach of the Rosh? We know the Rambam doesn't say like the Rosh. The Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is fulfilled through the Maisa Ksiva. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to enable Talmud Torah. It's not a mitzvah to own the Sefer Torah in order that one can learn from the Sefer Torah. Maybe that's the time of the Korah. Maybe that's the reason. But that's not the way that you fulfill the mitzvah. You fulfill the mitzvah with the writing. So you can't say that the time of the Korah is going to govern the parameters of the mitzvah. You can't say that the reason for the mitzvah, the fact that the pasuk says v'lamdas b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiim, so that tells me all nashim apturos in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so therefore they're apturos in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah as well. The Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is a function of the ma'aseh Ksiva. It's linked up to the act of writing the Sefer Torah. It's not linked up to the learning of Torah. That's what the Rosh said. The Rambam doesn't go like the Rosh. So how can the Shagas Aryeh suggest that the answer for the Rambam, why did the Rambam leave women out? Well, he claims the women are pturos from the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah because they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so they can't be obligated in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. What does one have to do with the other? The Rambam was not the one who said Bizman Azeh one can fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah by buying Sfarim. The Rambam would say that's absurd. A person has to write a Sefer Torah even nowadays because the Rambam says that V'lamda is v'nei Yisrael sima b'fiim is a nice drasha, it's a nice tam for the mitzvah, but it doesn't govern the scope of the mitzvah. So why should it govern the scope of the mitzvah when it comes to nashim? So the Minchas Chinuch and the Beis HaLevi, two of the Achronim, suggest that maybe we can explain the Rambam differently. Maybe inochanami. Maybe if you hold like the Rosh and the Sefer Achinuch, Taka women should be obligated in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Exactly what we've been saying, that if they're obligated somewhat in the mitzvah of learning Torah, like the Magen Avraham wanted to say, so maybe they should be obligated in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Maybe that's a possibility. But the Rambam is not a Rosh man. Why does the Rambam say that Nashim Apturos and the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? Not like the Shagasai says, not because women are pturos from the midst of Talmud Torah. No, that's not the pshat. The Rambam l'shitaso, the Rambam assumes that the mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah involves the ma'isa ksiva. But the Rambam was aware of a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis makes a hekesh. The hekesh uksharta muchsavta. The pasuk in Kriyat Shema says uksharatam la'os al yodecha, and then the next pasuk says uksavtam al mezuzos beisecha. So the Gemara darshins uksharatam uksavtam, only a person who is yeshno bikshira is yeshno biksiva. Only someone who is included within the mitzvah putting on tefillin is kosher to write the tefillin and to write a mezuzah and to write a sefer Torah, to write the kisvei hakodesh. So say the Michas Chinuch and the Beis HaLevi, the drasha of Ukshatim Uksatim will explain why a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Why? Because Ukshatim Uksatim tells me that a woman is psula to write a Sefer Torah. Just like she can't write tefillin, and she can't write a mezuzah, she can't write a Sefer Torah. Meaning, if a woman writes a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah is possible. So if a woman can't create a Sefer Torah kosher, it doesn't make any sense that she should be obligated in writing the Sefer Torah. If you assume that the goal of Ksiva Sefer Torah, the nature of the mitzvah, is to have the Sefer Torah in order to learn, so that's not linked to the writing per se. It's to have a Sefer Torah to learn, so maybe women could be obligated in that mitzvah. But if you assume, like the Rambam, that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is limited to the Ksiva, to the Ma'aseh Ksiva, so then if a woman is psula from writing the Sefer Torah, the drasha Ksharta Machsavtan tells me that if a woman writes the Sefer Torah is a Sefer Torah apostle. You can't have Kriyas HaTorah from the Sefer Torah. It's a Sefer Torah apostle. So if the woman can't create a Sefer Torah kosher, how could she be obligated to write a Sefer Torah? And don't tell me, oh, you know what? She's obligated to write the Sefer Torah. She has to make a shliach. She has to tell the Sofer to write it because she can't write it herself. The Sofer can. It doesn't make any sense that she should have to make the Sofer into a shliach. We have a klal in the Torah that milsa de'ihu lo matzi ovid shliach lo matzi mashvi. Something that a person can't do themselves, they can't make a shliach. If you can't do it yourself, you can't make a shliach to do that. The shliach can't be better than you. Shlucho shel adam kemoso. The shliach is like the owner, like the mishaleach who sent the shliach. But if the mishaleach can't do it, he can't make a shliach. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. It doesn't get off the ground. So maybe that's the answer. The answer for the Rambam is he really holds that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is a mitzvah in the ksiva. It's a ma'aseh ksiva, that's the mitzvah. But the Rambam holds, Ksharta Machsavtam tells me that women can't write a Sefer Torah. If they wrote a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah would be a Sefer Torah apostle. So if women can't write the Sefer Torah, then they can't be obligated in the mitzvah of the Sefer Torah. It's like you're giving them a mitzvah, but you're cutting off both of their arms and telling them they can't do it. They can't do it, and they can't get a sofer to do it either, because if the sofer does it, that's his mitzvah. He can't be a shliach for them, because if they can't do it themselves, they can't make a shliach. So the mitzvah can't begin. That could be the answer. That's what the Minchas Chinuch and the Beis HaLevi suggest to try to answer the Rambam. The Rambam assumes that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is in the Ma'aseh Ksiva. And because it's in the Ma'aseh Ksiva, since women are psulos to write the Sefer Torah, it can't be that they're obligated in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. I just want to conclude with a brief thought. We mentioned at the outset that the Rush tries to answer this question, this age-old question. Why is it that people don't fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah b'zman hazeh? Why? Why? It's a nice mitzvah. Right? It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Forget whether it's nice or not. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. So just like we fulfill the mitzvahs of Shabbos and Kashrus and Tefillin and Mezuzah and Tzitzis, etc., why shouldn't we fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? So the Rush says, we do! We do it in a different way. We buy Svarim. We write Svarim. We don't write a Sefer Torah, but we write Svarim. Because those objects enable, they help Talmud Torah, and that's the whole goal of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Shagas Aryeh, in a siman after the one I just quoted, the Shagas Aryeh, to explain the Rambam, that's a siman Lamed Hey. The Shagas Aryeh and siman Lamed Vav answers the Rosh's Kasha in a different way, a very interesting answer, also nogeya to the issues of Sefer Torah. The Shagas Aryeh invokes the Gemara Kedushin. The Gemara Kedushin has a discussion, different Amaroyim are talking about Sefer Torah, And one of the Amoraim says that we are not bekiyim b'chaseros v'yaseros. We are not bekiyim, we are not experts in knowing which letters of the Sefer Torah, which words of the Sefer Torah are supposed to be malay, with a vav, a cholam malay, and which are supposed to be without a cholam malay. You're supposed to have a cholam chasen. There are sometimes that there's a chirik with a yud and a chirik without a yud. A cholam with a vav, or a cholam without a vav. So one of the Amoraim says, since we're not bekiyim b'chaseros v'yaseros, so he has a whole discussion based on that point. The Gemara there is talking about where is the middle of the Sefer Torah, where is Chatzi Osios the Sefer Torah, and other issues there. So the Shagasari says, look, since Sefer Torah Shechaser Osachas is possible, the Sefer Torah is missing even one letter, it's possible, and we're not Bekiyim B'chaseros V'yaseros, we are not sufficient experts in knowing which words are supposed to be Chaser, which words don't have to be Chaser. So maybe that's the reason why we don't fulfill the mitzvah of Ksira Sefer Torah, because what are we going to do? For Kriyas HaTorah, apparently, since that's only a Takana de Rabban and Chazal, say it doesn't matter, even if we're not sufficient experts on knowing what should be Mali, what should be Chaser, for the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, we can use whatever Sefer Torah we have. But for the mitzvah of Ksira Sefer Torah, that's a mitzvah deraisa. Maybe we can only write the Sefer Torah and fulfill the mitzvah if the Sefer Torah is kosher, kadasu kadim, but we don't even know. So if we don't know, maybe we won't fulfill this mitzvah, so we're not so makbid on that mitzvah. We're not so makbid on such a mitzvah. The Minchas Chinuch disagrees. The Minchas Chinuch says, I think the Shagas Arya's understanding of the Gemara Kedushin is a little bit faulty. He says, when did the Gemara say that anan lo bekina b'chaseros v'yaseros? When do we say that our lack of expertise on what is supposed to be Moli and Chaser plays a role? Says the Minchas Chinuch, that's only if the Moli or Chaser changes the meaning of the word. But if the Mali or Chaser doesn't change the meaning of the word, then it's completely irrelevant. The Sefer Torah is going to be completely kosher. Take a word. What's a good word? Aaron. If Aaron is spelled with a vav or Aaron is spelled without a vav, it's no difference. We know the person that we're talking about. So there's no change of meaning there. But if you'd have a word that would change its meaning if it's Mali or Chaser, let's say you take the word shomer, right? So if you write the word shomer with a vav, so then it means to watch, or it can sometimes mean a watcher. But if you write it without a vav, it could be interpreted as shomar, which means he watched in past tense. It's a different word. So there, it might change the meaning of the word. So if the mali or chaser will change the meaning of the word, so then there's something significant. But if it's not going to change the meaning of the word, then it shouldn't be significant. So even though we're not bekiyim b'chaseros v'yaseros, so that means we don't know the exact number of letters in the Sefer Torah. Because we don't know how many vavs are supposed to be there. Some words are supposed to be Meli, some words are supposed to be Chaser. But Chas v'shalom, that we don't know the meaning of the words of the Sefer Torah. We know all the meanings of the words of the Sefer Torah. So where the Meli and Chaser, says the Minchas Chinuch, is going to be ma'akev in the meaning, if it's going to change the meaning of Avada, we know that. And if we know that, then we should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah this way as well. Even if we don't know what's supposed to be Meli or Chaser, but we know the Meli or Chaser that counts. So how can the Shagasai say that the reason why we don't fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is because we don't know what's supposed to be Moli or Chaser anyway, so our Sefer Torah on a Daraisa level probably is possible, it's not going to be correct. The Minchas Chinuch says that's absolutely not true. If the Moli or Chaser doesn't change the meaning, there's no problem with it. And we know what the meaning of the words of the Sefer Torah is supposed to be, even if we don't know exactly how many vavs are supposed to be there. But when the lack of a vav or the addition of the vav will change the meaning of Avada, we know. He says, in fact, that's the reason why the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we know this, that if the Baal Kori makes a mistake, if he reads a word but it doesn't change the meaning of the words, like let's say he reads S instead of Ace, so we don't stop him. There are some people who like to do that. S, no, Ace, Ace, Ace. We don't stop him. If he's saying something that doesn't change the meaning of the word, it's not ma'akev. If it doesn't change the meaning of the word, it's not ma'akev. So if your Mali or Chaser doesn't change the meaning of the word, it's not ma'akev either. Says the Minchas Chinuch, the only answer to the Rosh's kasha is what the Rosh said. It doesn't seem like the answer to the Shagasai is not going to work. Because even though we don't know what's Mali or Chaser, but we know the Mali or Chaser that's ma'akev, we know where it changes the meaning of the word, so the fact that we don't know all of the Mali or Chaser, so what? The Sefer Torah is kosher kedasu kedin, even on a deraisa level, there would be no reason that we couldn't fulfill the mitzvah ksiva Sefer Torah with our Sefer Torah. The only reason perhaps why some people are not makbid, many are, Many are makbid because they're choshesh for the position of the Rambam. But those who are not makbid to fulfill this mitzvah, Ksivas Sefer Torah, is because they assume like the Rosh that the lambda is B'nai Yisrael, Sima B'fiyam, the second half of the pasuk teaches us that the goal of the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah is to make Talmud Torah easier, to enable a person to learn Torah. And since we don't learn Torah from a Torah scroll, but rather from other Sfarim, so we fulfill the mitzvah by writing other Sfarim and by buying other Sfarim. That's the real answer. The answer of the Rosh is the real answer to this question as to why we don't fulfill the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah by writing a Torah scroll, but rather by buying other Sfarim.